Hello and welcome to Smarter, a podcast by clinicians for clinicians, brought to you by Mater, an Australian leader in healthcare for more than a century. My name is Glenn Minturn. I'm so excited to join you today as we meet some of our clinicians and deep dive into specialty areas from across Mater's facilities in Townsville and Mackay. Today, I'm coming to you from Cootharinga, the land on which this podcast is recorded. And I'm joined today by Dr. Rahul Dua, nephrologist at Mater Private Hospital, Townsville. Dr. Dua completed his initial medical training in India before moving to Australia and completing both AMC and specialist training in both North Queensland and Sydney, where he gained renal transplant experience. Dr. Dua is proudly celebrating a decade with us in North Queensland, commencing at Mater Private Hospital Townsville in 2013 and serving as a senior lecturer at James Cook University's School of Medicine. Today, Dr. Dua is joining us to talk about the various circumstances when kidney dialysis becomes crucial.
We are Mater.
We are Mater.
We are Mater.
This is Smarter.
Rahul, thank you for joining us. Welcome to Smarter.
Thanks for having me here.
Do you think there's a belief that people need to have a low kidney operation before they're referred to a nephrologist?
Oh yeah, it's a big issue. I would say I think there is a lot of data which is readily available on the Bureau of Statistics as well. But in short, almost like 1.7 million Australians have CKD, which is chronic kidney disease. One in 10 suffer with one of the markers of CKD, which is a reduced kidney function.
Goodness.
And protein in the urine. So it is, believe it or not, it is twice as common as diabetes.
Twice as common?
Twice as common as diabetes. So if you believe the data tells us that CKD is far more common than other disease. In fact, the mortality data tells us that almost 65 Australians die every day with kidney disease, which is more than the people dying from breast cancer, prostate cancer, and road traffic accident. This is
That's
all data.
That's amazing numbers.
It is all data which is readily available, and that tells you the magnitude of the problem we are facing here.
So what would be some of the benefits then, talking about this subject, of being referred to you earlier rather than later?
I think this is very important, early referral, because we may be able to reduce the inevitable loss of kidney function, which can happen with CKD, by almost as much as 50% reduction. Or even if it's a reversible cause, we may be able to correct that thing as well. So coming to the CKD, it's obviously low GFR or protein in the urine, which remains there for at least 3 months. That's how we diagnose a CKD. And early referral, I would say, first of all, the people who are at risk of CKD. So if anybody is diabetic, has hypertension, smoker, obese, if they have family history of kidney failure, people from First Nations people are at higher risk of having chronic kidney disease. If somebody has had stroke or a minor stroke or heart attack, they are at higher risk of having a CKD. And CKD itself gives 2 to 3-fold high increase of having further cardiovascular events, including the mortality. So I think CKD cannot be ignored.
So what are some of the main causes of kidney disease leading to dialysis, especially here in North Queensland?
I think in North Queensland, we have 1.3. Again, the data is telling us, compared to the metro cities, we in regional and remote areas have got higher incidence of CKD. It's almost 1.3 times compared to the major cities. And the diabetes is the number one, which is unfortunately worldwide. This is a phenomenon not only in Australia. So diabetes is the number one. Number two is, I would say, hypertension. Three, glomerulonephritis, which is an inflammation of the kidneys. And there is an inherited kidney condition, which is called polycystic kidney disease. and others which are various other causes for leading up to kidney failure, ending up on dialysis. So when we describe CKD, we describe them in five stages, CKD stage 1 to stage 5. Stage 5 is when the GFR drops less than 15, and as such, we do not go with the numbers. Basically, it is clinical indication when somebody will need dialysis. So, but GFR has to be less than 15 before they need any dialysis. And coming to the early referral, I think it's important because till date, 18% of the patients who get referred to a renal service get on dialysis within 90 days. So that means 18%, we can reduce that number. So early referral is important so that we can detect early, treat, and you know prevent them from going on to the dialysis. I think it's very, very important.
The Joint British Society's Diabetes Guidelines for 2022 recognises diabetes as one of the most common causes for end-stage kidney disease in many parts of the world, with many people on dialysis programs living with diabetes also. Therefore, in the nephrology space, there are added interests in the management of clinical issues related to diabetes, including hypoglycemia, ketoacidosis, and foot and eye diseases.
So, Rahul, can you give me some indication what it would be like living with diabetes and kidney failure? What sort of options are out there to treat and cure that combination?
Oh, yeah. So I think this is being one of the most common condition which we are dealing with kidney failure. So there are new drugs available which have hit the market in the last few years. Most of the GPs are aware about ACE, ARBs as a number one. SGLT2 inhibitors have come in market which have been approved on PBS. And then there are now non-steroidal MRAs, which are also being approved, which can be used in patients with diabetic nephropathy, which can retard the progression of CKD. So that's in the type 2 diabetes. We have people with type 1 diabetes, which, as you know, some of them develop type 1 diabetes in their early ages. And I had a case study where I had a gentleman who had type 1 diabetes in his teenage years, and his life was always dealing with the needles because that's with the type 1 diabetes you have to be on insulin. Unfortunately, he developed kidney disease, which led up to end-stage renal failure, and he was on dialysis. Luckily, he was referred down to a Westmead Hospital in Sydney, which is the only approved center where we have the opportunity to do dual transplant, mm-hmm. which is the pancreas and the kidney. And he got not only cured for his diabetes by having a pancreas transplant, and he got cured by end-stage renal disease by having a kidney transplant. So it was a game changer for him. He's been never ever happy as much as you know after these surgeries. So I think it is type 1 diabetic patients who, if they go on end-stage renal disease, they are eligible for having a dual pancreas and kidney transplant. If they are above 50 years of age, they can still have kidney transplant. And I think we need to have still a close monitoring because they are at risk of developing opportunistic infection and other side effects because of those medications. So
is the GP still involved in that monitoring as well?
The GP's involvement is very, very important, and that's where their primary point of contact. I do see him on an average, my CKD patients, depending on their level of severity, I see most of my patients either on 3-monthly, 6-monthly, or rarely once in a year. But their first point of contact is always their GP. So initially, when post-transplant, he was obviously regularly monitored, initially weekly, then fortnightly, then monthly. Now he's coming to see me 3-monthly or 6-monthly.
You talked about that as an amazing outcome. Is that now the norm as far as, you know, recovery and being able to get a perfect outcome? Or is he sort of standing alone?
No. I think most of the people who have renal transplant have a much, much better quality of life compared to being on dialysis. Unfortunately, the current dialysis population we have are elderly, frail people who are at higher risk of having opportunistic infection or other complications if they go for renal transplant. And then there are other comorbidities, considering their if they have heart attack or if they had any cancer, that precludes them on going for a renal transplant, because obviously we don't want to do any harm.
Kidney Health Australia notes that some analgesics, specifically anti-inflammatory medication, can contribute to kidney failure, especially when paired with other prescriptions such as blood pressure medication. Educating patients about the impact of over-the-counter medication is just as important as what they're prescribed.
So, Rahul, apart from diabetes, obviously there are a number of other main conditions which lead to kidney failure, but then there are preventable ones. So how do you see anti-inflammatory medication impacting on kidney deterioration?
I think it is very important from general public point of view, because as you know, the anti-inflammatory, some of them like ibuprofen, is readily available over the counter. And people do not realize, some of them keep taking the medications and not basically checking with their GPs and checking their kidney health. Unfortunately, can lead to irreversible damage to their kidneys. And patients who have hypertension, they are on some diuretics. If they take any of these anti-inflammatory, which we call as triple whammy, unfortunately can lead up to end-stage renal failure. So we tell the patients to always contact their GP and have a sick day plan as well, like in case if they develop any gastro symptoms, profuse diarrhea, vomiting, they need to avoid certain medications which they are on, which can lead to renal failure actually. So I think this is easily preventable condition where they can stop certain medication if they are feeling sick and then consult their GP to avoid that outcome.
So are there any additional tests that you could be doing with your GP as part of regular checking of your kidneys that could, you know, avoid that possibility of being close to kidney failure down the track? Are there sort of extra tests that you could expect that could be happening in that area?
Yes, I think like for all the patients who have got the risk factors should get their kidney health check done, which simple is checking their EGFR, which whenever they get their blood tests, most time they get the renal functions get included. So checking their EGFR, checking their urine, which is very important. Sometimes I do see people having blood tests for a number of years with all the risk factors, but never had their urine check done. So I think that's very important to get at least those who have hypertension and diabetes to get at least once in a year a urine check done to make sure they do not have any proteinuria, and obviously managing their blood pressure. So they are the three things. Apart from this, I think as a part of kidney workup, doing an ultrasound just to check the anatomy and if there is any structure abnormality, including BPH, that's a prostate enlargement, do any obstructive uropathy, including renal calculi, which can happen as well. So ultrasound and then a urine test. I think they are the basic thing which I would prefer that they are getting done before they get referred to a nephrologist.
Now, there's a number that jumped out to me when I was looking at some of this information. There are no symptoms until patients have reached almost 90% kidney failure. That's a long way down the track.
You're right. Unfortunately, that's the problem in the patients who come to me and they say, "Doctor, I never thought I had kidney problem because I had no symptoms." And that's the case because the kidneys have good reserve, physiological reserve. So unfortunately, until they lose their 90% of the kidney functions, they do not develop any symptoms. And even if they develop symptoms, most of them are sort of a non-specific, having tiredness, lethargy, distaste, weight loss can also happen. But by the time they develop these symptoms, it's usually late. So that's why we emphasize the need for early detection, early referral, so that we can treat this condition much before it comes to that point.
Townsville is set to cement itself as the kidney treatment capital of Northern Australia, with proposed plans for a kidney transplant unit through Queensland Health and the relocation of Martyrs Renal Unit to its Pimlico campus, which will see a 100% increase in its number of dialysis chairs.
Rahul, there have been some major development announcements for Townsville in the renal space in 2023. Can you tell us what that means for patients here in North Queensland?
I think it's a great news because, as you know, North Queensland has been, the Townsville University Hospital has been approved for the second renal transplant unit in Queensland. So far, only the Princess Alexandra was the only centre in Queensland. So I think it's a great news for whole Northern Australia, because so many patients who are living in remote area, going for dialysis, will have opportunity to travel to Townsville, get a kidney transplant. So I think we have to watch the space, because this has been announced, and I expect in next 1 or 2 years, we should see more patients going through their kidney transplants.
All right. Well, we're just about to wrap up with Rahul, but before we do that, I'm excited to announce our little segment we like to call The Checkup.
Will be a tough one.
It won't be tough, Rahul. Don't panic. We're good. We've wanted to make sure we find out a little bit more about the person. So it's time for our quick questions. We've got 5 quick questions. I don't want you to spend too much time thinking about the answer. Hit me with your answer once we've given you the question. Let's see how we go. Question number 1. If you weren't a doctor, what would you be?
Oh, I haven't actually thought about it, but I think I would be a musician, even though I have very little knowledge about music.
A favorite sort of music?
I'm trying to learn guitar. So
are you?
I gifted myself on my birthday a guitar in my old age.
I look forward to coming to your very first concert. What's your favorite meal?
Favorite meal? I would say my choice of cuisine is Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And but I do love Thai and other cuisines as well. But yeah,
are you a cook? Do you like to cook?
Yes, I do cook on weekends if I get time.
If you get time. Can I ask you, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen?
Hmm.
Tough, huh?
Tough, actually. I see so many weird things, actually. So it's difficult to put number one weirdest thing.
I'll take that as the answer. Many things. I like this question, and we've had this a couple of times. Have you ever been on a plane where they've announced, is there a doctor on board?
That's always, a doctor's nightmare. So sometimes I do not put my name as a doctor when I'm traveling, but I do traveling from a few years ago, Delhi to Singapore flight. And it was at 3 a.m., you won't believe. And that's when I heard that on announcement, yes. Is there any doctor? We have a sick patient in business class. And poor guy, he was a young 18-year-old boy. He was almost, he passed out, actually. And then I put my hand up. I was taken to the business class area where he was lying on the almost flat. We had to get an urgent kit. Within half an hour, the plane landed, and we did give him initial treatment with their primary kit there. But yeah, that was my first ever time experiencing being a doctor on a plane.
How was it up that end of the plane? I've never been up there. Whole different world. One last question for you, Rahul. What would your advice be for current medical students?
Okay, yes, I think I do. I'm a senior lecturer at the JCU. So my advice to the medical students is the journey of being a doctor is a long one. It takes 13 to 14 years for them to become a fully qualified specialist doctor. So I think take it easy and enjoy the journey.
Well, it's been a great journey talking to you today, Rahul.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us on
Smarter. Thanks
for
having me here. Thank you.
For all of our listeners, whether you're at home, in the car, or having a well-deserved break between patients, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Smarter.